This is The Sunflowers of Summer, a part of an archived broadcast, Nature of Things, from August 9th, 1990.
The diverse members of the Aster family, that group that botanists call the composites, is with us throughout the growing season, starting with the dandelion and coltsfoot in March and easing into the fleabanes, hawkweeds, and daisies of spring and early summer, and finally including the asters, goldenrods, and eupatoriums of late summer. We are never without them in central New York. Still, the dog days of summer initiate a gradual process of weeding out the non-asters. This leaves us by early September with the annual high tide of the composites. Ditches and low meadows sport head-high banks of purple-pink Joe Pieweed or white thoroughworts. The drier fields become seas of yellow goldenrod, deep enough to drown a man of my height. As the season moves along, infusions of blue, purple, or pink asters provide decorative islands across the sea. In some spots, chicory or ironweed or bullthistle provide swatches of sky blue, magenta, or pink. The man of the land finds it hard to find much joy in these circumstances of composite invasion, because they are the ultimate signs of land abandonment. There is a message that one more field once beloved of some land husbander for its golden wheat, silver green oats, or fuscous corn, signs of fruitfulness in every continent. It's no longer fruitful, apparently no longer loved, and will soon cease to exist as it yields to shrub and tree. If they had the capacity to predict, bobolink and meadowlark and ringneck pheasant would feel a similar foreboding. That's not likely, however, for most of them have already moved on to some spot attended by one who still wields the plow and the mower and the reaper. Existence today is hazardous for these birds because modern methods of haying and cropping make it difficult for them to get in a successful nest. Actually, the first few years of abandonment, I use that word advisedly, are ones of relaxed tension for the birds. But by the time that goldenrod and thoroughwort and sunflowers have claimed the land, the tension picks up again. For nesting conditions, dense stands of grasses will be short-lived. We ought not to ignore this, but since we can't really change the course of land husbandry, we can be forgiven for feasting on this lush bounty and perhaps for contemplating its message for us. I've shared before the anatomy of the composites, calling them superflowers. The term composite itself refers to the complex nature of these superflowers. They are not simply flowers, but are actually flower-like aggregations of many flowers on one head. Each petal-like strap of daisy or chicory is actually a complete flower. The sunflower fits in this category too, but the big yellow ray or strap flowers that surround the seed-bearing disc are sterile. The composites are a large family group, including over 700 species and over 100 genera. About 20% of these species are aliens brought to America since the signing of the Mayflower Pact. In addition, there are some 300 hybrids or varieties known. Knowing the composites is a formidable task. Botanists have divided the family, which they commonly now call the Asteraceae, into 10 tribes. Just listing them and some of their representatives serves to show the great variety of form. Tribe 1 includes the ironweeds, consisting of small, frothy, pinkish or magenta flowers. Tribe 2, the eupatoriums, which includes Joe Pieweed, a tall plant with whorled leaves and flat, frothy pink flower heads, bone sets and snake roots, both of which have frothy white flower heads. Bone set is unusual in having the opposite leaves joined at the base around the stem. Tribe 3, the asters, including gumweeds, goldenrods, fleabanes, and asters, such as New England or calico aster. Tribe 4 includes the everlastings, the pussytoes, and the strawflowers. Tribe 5 is an amazingly diverse group, including ragweed, clotbur, rosinweed, oxeye, coneflowers, susans, sunflowers, cosmos, and sticktites. Tribe 6 includes marigolds, galardia, and sneezeweeds. These sneezeweeds are susan-like flowers with stubby ray flowers bent backward. Tribe 7 includes yarrow, chamomile, chrysanthemums, tansy, and wormwood or artemisia. Tribe 8 includes coltsfoot, ragworts, groundsels, and coreopsis. Tribe 9 is the burdock thistle group, and Tribe 10 includes chicory, dandelion, goat's beard, wild lettuce, sow thistle, and hawkweed. This is indeed a bewildering litany. Strange that it is a group of flowers, many of which are with us from March to November, that provides the last bit of color to the rapidly browning fields of fall. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.